Once again, seated at the controls of the master communications machine, in touch with countless souls who are marching bravely, if anonymously, through the 20th century, the captain presses the big red button that says, underneath it, Satori, the connection. Bring it up, Big Tony. Why don't you understand what I mean there? Satori is that new soft drink, Locale. Of course, it doesn't have any taste either, but it's all right. We're going to have I'll take off my shades so that you can see my sparkling elfin eyes. You notice how elfin I look today, Tommy? Yeah. George, I'm sure it's Soupy Sales. And hell of a lot funnier. Oh, what a sad story. You know, everywhere you see, crime is rampant. Two men abducted a small bird from the Lincoln Park Zoo and took it to a nearby apartment where police said only feathers and peanut shells were found. Well, there's a crime for you. Can you imagine Perry Mason defending those two evil characters? Dr. Lester Fisher, zoo director, described the missing bird, a tiny toucan, as a native of tropical America, which is neither rare nor valuable. And we quote here, it has a great sentimental value. No questions will be asked if the bird is returned to the zoo. Everywhere you look. Can you imagine these two armed guys coming and kidnapping a canary? I'm sorry. You got a picture. Hey, you know, speaking of our day, this is it's all part of our time. You can't put it down. I mean, it's our time. That's all. It's our time. Have you ever wondered why you're getting a bad back? You know, one of the big problems today, I read in the paper that something like 86% of the people have low back pains. Do you have low back pains? Yeah, you know, once in a while you do, right? You? How about you, Tony? Or do you have high back pains between your ears, huh? How about you, Lee? Low back pains? Well, now, you may have discounted this one. I want you to listen carefully. Quote, and I've got a quote here. Now, I'm not, this is from Consumer Reporter. Just came out. It says, don't count on dawdling an hour over that second cup of coffee at the Chock Full of Nuts. Did you know that? More than likely, 20 or so minutes after you sit down, your backside will begin to ache. It is planned that way, so says LB Products Corp., a New York maker of restaurant equipment that supplies counter stools to Chock Full and some 200 other luncheon chains. And we quote here, compared with other L&B stools, the Chock Full seats are harder and smaller, confides Ray Ettlinger, L&B sales manager. And we quote here, these stools are designed to begin to hurt your back after a while. So if you've been hanging around the Chock and spending 25 minutes a day for lunch, that could be why you're getting those shooting pains down around your gazinkas there. This discourages secretaries from lingering over their tuna fish sandwiches, end of quote. It's everywhere there's plotting against us ordinary people. Everywhere it's going on. Oh, my George. Would you please, Tony? The only one. Man always finds solace in beauty. When all is said and done, when the shots and the sounds, the clangor, the smoke, and the hazardous breath of dissension breathes through the world, man has always found solace in what? Beauty, right? This is true. And so let us find solace in beautiful music. Oh, forget it. Oh, that's... I'm a chi-chi-chi-camera, da 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 pa pa da da. Your love, baby, belongs to me. Ho, ho, ho. Pa 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 pa. Thank you. See, yeah, hold, Tony. Enough beauty. There, huh? Reset that. There's enough beauty. Hold. Hey, you know, speaking of beauty, I don't quite know how to do this. Did you read the piece here a couple of weeks ago about the lady in Daytona Beach, who was beginning to receive all kinds of fantastic music and stuff on her teeth? You heard about that? Well, of course, everybody on TV was doing this. You know, they were all mentioning this lady. It was as if it's a whole big deal, see? Whole new thing. This lady. Well, in case you didn't hear about it, I'll catch you up on, you know, a part of modern man's problems. Incidentally, I wonder if that could be called subtle pollution. I mean, you know, if for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'll read this piece here for you. A Daytona Beach housewife is looking for a neighbor with a wireless phonograph tuned in to her dental fillings. The woman, who refused to be named, found out she had a bite with a beat on March 15th. She was sitting with her family in the living room, just sitting there, see? When all of a sudden, in her head, an orchestra started to play, "It's a Long Way to Tipperary." Oh, she's just sitting there, you know. She starts hearing "It's a Long Way to Tipperary," which, by the way, is a song that has not made it since the fall of 1922. And she's hearing "It's a Long Way to Tipperary." And so the lady says, why don't one of you guys turn off the radio upstairs? We're sitting there watching TV. The radio must be on. But it was no radio on. It was her head that was picking it up. Recalling reading of another case in which teeth had picked up radio signals, her husband sent her to the dentist. The dentist, Dr. J.H. Long, explained that two metals, or if you prefer, this is New York, I'm sorry, two metals, such as gold and amalgam fillings, plus acid in saliva, could set up a potential receiving system. In effect, what you have in your head is a little crystal set. That's the only way I can explain it. That's a Galena crystal type thing, you know. It's a little rectifier, if I may use a very official term there. Long, the doctor, replaced a gold crown, took it out, and told her to use baking soda to cut down on the acidity. See, that like canceling the battery out. The volume just was cut down, that's all. She continued to pick it up. After being awakened at 3 in the morning by the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Well, that's a good tune to be wakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by. That's the kind of thing, boy, that makes you, you know, take pledges and join a demonstration and everything. How does the Battle Hymn of the Republic go? Let's see, is it the... No, that's Onward Christian Soldiers. Do you know the tune? Well, let me hear it, please. I'm consulting our vast library of trivia, yes? Yeah, I'm here. Oh, yes. Can you imagine hearing that at 2 o'clock in the morning? You're laying there in the sack, you know, and you had a hard day listening to "It's a Long Way to Tipperary," and you're laying there and you finally get to sleep. A little echo chamber would help here, Tony. She's laying there, see? Holy smokes. And it's continued all night. So the next day, they turned on the Tipperary bit again. So she took to sleeping in a motel 1 mile from her home, which is apparently out of range of the transmitter. Well, she says, you know, when she listens, now she's gotten so she kind of enjoys it. You know, it's not everybody that has their own private Muzak. And she's kind of enjoying it now. But she notices one thing. There are no call letters, no announcers. So the electronic experts theorize the signal is coming from someone playing a phonograph and transmitting sound to a speaker in another room by a wireless method. You've seen these wireless phonograph players. The victim believes the music is being played by a single retired person. because her teeth start playing at all hours of the night. And almost all the tunes come from another era. Some songs she picked up include Rambling Rose. And she also hears My Country, Tis of Thee. And, of course, this one, that's a real gasser. Can you imagine this one waking you up every night? Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile. Well, of course, she could be picking up the gambling show. That's, you know, that's typical. He plays music from another era. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. Oh, ra-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, she says, we quote her here, well, it was kind of funny at first, but now it's getting to be a little bit, well, it's wearing thin. That's putting it mildly. Well, now I read that scene. I'm thinking about this very seriously, see? And, you know, for those of you who don't know anything about electronics, you're going to get a little lesson tonight in electronics. You don't mind if I get technical tonight, Tony? And before we get technical, listen, I have something I got to say. I'm going to get very official here now. Don't call up the station all day long asking for the address for that fantastic year one poster. We've been deluged with calls, and here is the story. For those of you who didn't hear me last night, a couple nights ago, it is rare that I have ever done anything on the air that causes as much excitement among people at the station as this one thing. Tony, have you seen this poster? Every guy that has seen this darn thing wants one. Every single guy. Now look carefully at it, Tony. The more you look at it, the more you begin to see wild stuff in this thing. It's erotic. It's everything. It's like the entire history of civilization in one fantastic, spectacular colored poster. It's a beautiful poster. It's a spectacular. It's a sort of neo-surrealistic painting. And it's symbolic of almost, you know, the end of one civilization, the beginning of another. It's called the Year One poster, and it is sensational. I mean it, really. For $2, I'm going to tell you, it's one of the wildest things I've ever seen. And, you know, $2, the average guy will go in and he'll buy himself a hamburger and a root beer, and that's $2 down the drain. But if you hang one of these posters in your pad, friends, I'm going to tell you, it'll turn you on every time you look at it. And I'll guarantee you this. You look at this thing for 5 years, and you'll still be seeing new things in it. Now, don't call up the station. I repeat, if you want to order one of these wild posters, and down at the bottom it says, Heaven, Earth, Rock, Beatles, Sound, Time, come together in the kingdom of Rocko. So, if you want to order one of these, and I'll guarantee you, if you don't dig it, man, they'll be glad to send your dough back instantly. But I can't imagine anybody not. You send $2 in check or money order, too. Now listen carefully and write it down and don't call up. Year one. Now that's easy. You can spell that. Now if you try hard. Year one. Year one. I repeat. Now here's the number. 460. Let's try that again. 460 West 34th Street. Now all of you could. That's very easy. You write a 3 and a 4, and you got it, 34th. We repeat, 460 West 34th Street. Now, the next part is the hard part. New York, New York. That's very hard. New York, New York, because you'd be surprised. A lot of people write to New York, New Jersey. There is a New York, New Jersey. So it is New York, New York, and don't send it to the station, please. And the zip code, symbolically enough, a little echo will help here, Tony. Boy. 1-0-0-1. Thank you. Wasn't that nice? Now, the address again, I repeat, is Year 1, 460 West 34th Street, New York, New York. That's all. You send a check or money order. Write down a check for $2. And don't forget to put your name in, you slob. You'd be surprised at the number of people who will send money and never send their name, you know? Put your name in it, too, so they know where to send it. That's a check or money order for $2. They'll take care of all the mailing, all the rest. And I want to tell you, this thing is a beautifully, I think it's one of the best examples of lithography I've seen in years. This is not one of these little posters you see hanging up, you know, in bookstores all over with the rhinoceroses and all that stuff. Some of the ugly junk that's around these days. Unbelievable. Ugh. But this is really worth having. I'm going to tell you that. And by the way, money back if you are not totally gassed. Right? Okay. Now, I you know, when I heard about that lady with the fillings, oh, speaking of, you know, picking up bad sounds on your teeth, this is WOR New York. And, Tony, I think you got a couple of little beepies and they hit the money button, please.
And now a special message from Dr. Pepper. The first Dr. Pepper truck has reached New York. We now switch you to our man on the street, Saul Weinberg, for a first-hand report.
Yes, it's true. The first Dr. Pepper truck has indeed arrived. The mood here is one of great excitement. Excuse me, please. People are cheering and screaming, old and young alike. Watch the cable, please. Have united in one great gesture of welcome. I'm trying to get near the truck. Welcome. Welcome to New York.
How do you like it, kid?
Gee, Eddie, it's everything you said it would be.
Would you like to say something to our audience? How does it feel to be the first truck to make it through?
speaking for the kid and myself, we're kind of proud.
Yeah. Hey, Mom, look, I made it!
Well, there you have it. Some people said they'd never make it, but Dr. Pepper is in New York.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm home, Harriet.
You ready?
All packed. We just have to put the suitcases in the car and go. You did remember to pick up some money at the bank.
Nope.
What? Oh, how can we go on a vacation without money?
Simple. We'll just use our Chevron National credit card.
Great, Henry. What are we supposed to do, sleep on a gas pump?
Now, just hang on. That Chevron National credit card is good at Howard Johnson's Motor Lodges, Ramada Inns, and Master Host Inns, not to mention Hertz Car Rentals.
Well, I didn't know that.
Not only that, I can charge gas, oil, and even repairs at more than 24,000 Chevron service stations across the country.
Say, that Chevron credit card is really great. Isn't Chevron the company with service stations that look like little tropical islands with tropical plants and everything?
That's Chevron Island, all right.
Ooh, do you suppose we could stop in at one just so you could keep your promise?
What promise?
Well, you always said you'd take me to the islands.
Hey, you know, I every time I hear one of these corny Italian or other Hawaiian guitars, do you remember anything you ever did when you were a kid that bugged everybody around you? I mean, you picked up a habit. Like, for example, saying things like, "Avas you there, Charlie?" Or, you know, I'm talking about just a little thing that you did. Did you ever do anything like that, Tony? You must have. Well, you know what? A thing that I'll guarantee you made me a legend in my time at the age of 9. And in addition to that, probably got more total hate from people around me was a habit I had of imitating Hawaiian guitars. Now, don't ask me why. Well, I can tell you why, actually, I suppose, if I think about it. But at that time, there was a rotten radio program that my mother used to listen to every morning at breakfast time when we're eating, you know, we're eating breakfast and we're sitting around the table and I got the, you know, the oatmeal and all that stuff. And my mother's favorite line always was, "It'll stick to your ribs." That's why it'll stick to your ribs. And I wonder how many people are still 150 years later after their mother told them that stuff, are still trying to get the stuff off their ribs that stuck to their ribs. They're still trying to diet, you know. They got little, little footballs hanging on them all over, you know, that are made out of Quaker Oats, you know, little Quaker Oat footballs. But she used to say, "It'll stick to your ribs." And we'd always sit there every morning just before school, and she had this radio on top of the refrigerator, and it was a radio. Did you ever hear of a night radio with a K? Well, it was a night radio. I always remember because it had a little night on it, had an airplane dial, and it was made out of white plastic. Now, I can't remember this radio when the cabinet wasn't cracked. In fact, I think it came cracked with some adhesive tape on, holding it together, see? And her radio, it was her radio, see? And it was always up on top of the refrigerator. And about every 6 or 7 weeks, my old man would come in, and he would slam the back door, and the radio would just slide sideways, see? Oop, in the middle of a Bing Crosby. Crosby is singing, you know, when the moon is out, chee-chee-chee. Pow! The radio had hit the floor. And my mother, there you go again, my radio. The old man, oh, this radio. Why don't you put it over on the sink or on the over there by the cupboard? Why always on top of the refrigerator? And she'd say, well, that's where I like it. I can always tune it easy. Well, then she put it back up and never stopped. It was an indestructible radio. As far as I know, it is still working at home, and my mother is still listening to it. Well, every morning at the quarter after 7, when I'm sitting there having breakfast, my kid brother is crying. He's warming up for the day. And the old man he's in the John shaving away there and swearing and yelling because the White Sox lost another doubleheader. The usual stuff. And my mother's got her favorite morning show. It would come on like this. It would, every morning, a little echo chamber, it would go, and this announcement would come in. It's time now for Hawaiian Echoes, transcribed. Your favorite music of the glamorous tropical Hawaiian Islands. And now, Hawaiian Echoes. My mother loved it. I don't think there is a more sickening sound in the entire musical world than a Hawaiian guitar. Now, I know that's going to bug a lot of you. There's two things I can't stand the sound of. Hawaiian guitars and organs. Ooh. Well, I'd have to say there's another thing that I can't tolerate. It's an organ playing with a lady singing German Lieder. You hear this on FM all the time. Who listens to this stuff? And, these three things, I instantly, when I hear them, I just want to run and, throw the whole damn radio, FM, stereo, all of it right out into 4th Avenue. Let it go, But there are some people, and it's funny how many nostalgic-type people will write, and they really believe that, there was another show that my mother used to listen to. I wonder if you ever heard this monstrosity. There was a show when they would come on with an organ. The organ would play, and along with the organ, 425 transcribed canaries would sing. Did you ever hear that one? Yeah, and the announcer would come on and say, the Hartz Mountain Canaries. And these canaries, they'd sing away there. And my mother loved that. Oh, she'd sit there, birds and canaries and stuff. And so one morning, I am sitting immediately after this little 15-minute transcribed program went off. And I'm on my way to school, see, and I'm walking out. And it was then, at just that minute, just out of the blue, I think most people discover they've got a talent accidentally. It's an accident. You don't really develop a talent. You just accidentally discover you've got it. And from there, you work, you see. From that point on, you go. Well, I'm on my way to school, see, I'm walking out, and I have just heard this terrible Hawaiian Echoes. It was called Hawaiian Echoes. And I'm out, putting on my coat, getting ready to go to school. I'm by the front door, and all of a sudden I go, my God, what a sound. And then I tried it again. Don't say blah. You're saying blah because you don't like Hawaiian guitars. I sound so much like a Hawaiian guitar that I'm making you mad, right? Well, that's a talent, friends. And my mother said, what are you doing? And then I went again. Ooh, 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 ooh. She says, "You making fun of my radio program?" I said, "No." Well, I don't think I have ever mentioned this ever on the air. In fact, I know I haven't mentioned it on the air. That 3 months later, I got so hung on doing this, I'd go around the house all the time, and I would make people mad in their conversations. For example, Schwartz would say, "Hey, listen." He's all excited. He says, "Hey, listen, I got a story I want to tell you. Oh, man, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. The other day, I was talking to Helen Weathers. You want to hear the story?" I would go. "So what are you trying to do?" I said, "Nothing, Schwartz. Tell us the story." He said, "Well, all right. You see, we were walking down the street, me and Helen Weathers, see, and we went back to Sherwin-Williams paint, you know, big paint sign down there by Paswinski's garage." I'd say, "Yeah. What happened?" He'd say, "Well, you wouldn't believe it. You know, I never realized that Helen Weathers was a romantic girl. Well, I'll tell you what happened. I would start accompanying him with a Hawaiian guitar. If you really want to make somebody mad when they are telling you a sad story, pretend like you're a violin playing Hearts and Flowers. Go, you know, ooh, does that bug him? More than any words you could say. And ever since that time, I have been an accomplished Hawaiian guitarist. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, 3 months later, I was invited, because I was doing this so often around school, I was invited to perform at the PTA. I one time performed at the PTA. When you were in school, did you ever have a band that was made up of triangles and stuff like that? You know, mother oat cans and stuff like that, all kinds of, you know, tambourines and stuff. Well, I was in one of these. I was triangle man, see? And actually, it wasn't a triangle. What they did, the way they faked an instrument like that, we had a big nail, you know, the great big kind of nails. What do they call them? 12-penny nails or 50-penny nails or something. Great big nails, see? Great big thing. And you hang it from a thread. You just tie a thread around the head of this nail, hold it up, see? And then you have the other nail. You have another nail, see? And every so often, you go ding with your nail, see? And so the band would be playing something like, you know, "Hooray for the U.S. of A, ding. La-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, ding-ting-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, ding-ting-da-da-da-da-da-da, ding-ting-ding, hooray." Well, I was a very good cymbal man. Well, we used to play, and probably we were the first school that actually had a really good PA system. And so we would play in the PA system every couple of days. Our little triangle band would play away. Then one time we performed for the PTA. I was about in fourth grade at the time, third grade, fourth grade, something like that. And we had a groovy little band. In fact, we even had suits. Did I tell you that we all wore red blazers? Yeah, well, because, you know, all the bands of that period always had band jackets. You know, when they used to wear band jackets, and, you know, like Sammy Kaye's band would have these white coats with carnations, or Ted Weems would have these bright blue coats with gold thread, with the black lapels and all that stuff. Well, of course, we were a band, so we were the Warren G. Harding Triangle Band. So we had to have red coats. And so what we did, it was Miss Robinette sent home to every one of our mothers a pattern, one of these Sears Roebuck patterns, on how to make a little coat. It was a blazer. So each one of us kids had a red coat, and we'd play this thing. My reputation as a Hawaiian guitarist grew, until one day Miss Robinette said, "We'd like you to do this in the auditorium session. So, Matt, if you will please give me a little echo chamber, I will show you how I performed in the PA system in the auditorium of the Warren G. Harding School, accompanied by the Warren G. Harding Triangle Band." And, of course, the leader was Miss Robinette wearing her red blazer. It went like this, please. Matt, not yet, Matt. I'll give you a hand cue. Matt, you will notice that that my sound is so much like a Hawaiian guitar that people who hate Hawaiian guitars, as I do, I can't stand the sound of a Hawaiian guitar. People who hate Hawaiian guitars immediately get angry when I make this sound. Doesn't it sound like a Hawaiian guitar? It really does. And I did that at the thunderous applause. But an immediate sensation. 2 weeks later, my mother stopped listening to Hawaiian Echoes. And to this day, whenever I want to really bug her, when I'm talking to her on the phone, you know, I call her up every couple of weeks on the phone, say, and I say, hi, Mom. She says, hello. How are you? I said, very good, Mom. How are things going out there? Oh, you know, that's typical. How many of you call your mother as you get this kind of stuff? I say, how are things going, Ma? Oh, you know. So, well, Ma, you're feeling better now? You got rid of your cold? Yes, it's gone. I feel pretty good right now. In fact, I'm feeling fine. How are you? Oh, I'm fine, Ma. It's okay. I'm really feeling good. Are you eating well? Yes, Mom, I'm eating well. It's raining here. Well, it rained here last week, too. It's kind of nice now. Yeah, well, how's Randy? Oh, he's fine. He's fine. He called the other day. He's fine. How are you? Well, I'm fine, Mom. And then I can't think of anything else to do. I mean, you know, there we are. 1 minute of talk and nothing. Once in a while, it comes right out then. I just have to do it. It works great on the phone. I go... So will you stop that? Now, you called up all the way to Hammond, Indiana to do that on the phone? You know that I can't stand that. It's okay, Ma. I can't either, actually. I can't stand that sound. There we are. I say that there has never been anything ever but a generation gap. Is there anybody out there, I'm serious when I ask this question, is there anybody out there, no matter what age he is, who has ever felt at any point that he could ever talk to anybody 25 years older than he is? I'm going to ask you a question, Matt. Do you think that you have total communion with your old man? That's right. Do you think that George Washington got along well with his old man? I'm just asking you that. Do you think that Socrates, you know, sitting around making smart remarks, you know, Socrates, you think, can you imagine his old man coming out on, you know, wearing the toga, he comes out and he says, look, Sock, you're getting to be, I'm just bugged that you're, you know, the smart comments you're making. And he says, forget it, Dad. You'll never understand. You see, I am a gadfly, and we gadflies must gad. And it ain't easy being a gadfly. But then again, on the other hand, it ain't easy being on the radio. For one thing, yeah, I know, that's exactly what I was heading at, honey. Isn't it amazing how you anticipated me? As great minds think alike. But nevertheless, one of the things that hangs on every person on the radio, there's always three people pointing at the commercial list. Hardly anybody applauds you. Come on. I have a feeling that if Jesus Christ were to do a television show or a radio show, none of his producers or directors would hear one word he has to say. He'd be in the middle of giving the Sermon on the Mount, and they would be pointing, hey, 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 you got that Ford commercial. Hey.
Drive. It's an economy drive, and it's at your local Ford dealers now. Over $90 million worth of Ford cars and trucks, the year's biggest discounts. Drive. It's an economy drive. 25,000 vehicles to choose from. Get the one you want at the price you want at your local Ford dealers now. Drive. It's an economy drive. Your Ford dealer's exclusive computerized car locator system finds your Ford and delivers it to you. No shopping, no waiting. You take immediate delivery. Drive. It's an economy drive. He's overstocked with every car in the great Ford line, and he has to move them out. Savings on every one of the 25,000 cars and trucks in stock. Drive. It's an economy drive, and it's at your local Ford dealers now.
I did that purposely to you, Matt. That's all right. It doesn't make any difference. You know, we work so hard here trying to give you a good tone, a good quality, you know, excellent equipment and all that. Why, do you realize that we spend over $32 on this microphone alone here at WOR, and we are using, I can tell you this for a fact, that we are using audio equipment right now that you're listening to that cost us well over $100 for this studio alone. I mean, it came in a kit, and I was here when they built it. And so we go to tremendous pains and effort to bring you this great sound. And what are you listening to it on? A $2.49 Japanese radio that you bought on 6th Avenue someplace. And so what you get out of it, you know, it doesn't make a difference, wave shape, wave form. But nevertheless, you know, speaking of radio, I have to get back to that lady with the fillings in her teeth. You know, one of the greatest examples of picking up stuff in your teeth that I've ever seen. You've heard of this lady down in Daytona Beach, Matt, that you just came on the show. We changed engineers in the middle of the show. You know, the one that was picking up It's a Long Way from Tipperary on her teeth here a few months back. Well, suffice it to say there was a lady who was having that problem, and they can't figure out where it's coming from. Well, you know that at one point, this was a very common problem. In fact, until dentists began to use a certain kind of insulation in the teeth, when you go get a filling these days, I'm talking about a modern filling, which is modern within the past possibly 6 or 7 years, that's what I mean by modern, the dentists have developed a system where when they drill out a tooth, when they work on a carry or a cavity, they first, before they put the filling in, which is generally some kind of a metal, an alloy, before they put the filling in, they line your tooth with a certain type of insulating plastic. Did you know that, Matt? Well, they do. They have a very thin hardening plastic which prevents that metal from actually touching the nerve. And it's actually as an insulation. It works as an insulation in the sense that the insulation on a wire works. So if you have a copper wire and you put, say, a vinyl insulation on it, if your hand touches the wire, you are shielded from that wire by the vinyl insulation. Now, that wire may be carrying 250 volts, but you won't get that shock because your bare skin, which is a conductor, doesn't touch this thing. Well, that's really the basis of an insulation. But unfortunately, a lot of insulations can also act as an electrolytic. Now, what is it, an electrolytic? Well, that's something else again, that you can take an insulation like, say, mica, for example, is an example of an electrolytic, certain oils and so forth, that when you take two metal plates and you place them within a certain distance of each other, and then you put between the two an electrolytic, a charge is built up between the two, is actually what occurs. So sometimes, if you notice when you take you may have fillings in your teeth, and you may take a piece of tin foil, for example, and you touch the tin foil or piece of metal of some kind, let's say tin foil or even a fork, and you touch this metal to your metal filling, you'll get this strange sensation. It'll almost like a little shock. Have you ever felt this, Matt? Well, this is caused by that process, that the saliva in your mouth acts as a conductor. It acts as a salt, electrolytic. And the next thing you know, you get a little electrical charge that's built up between the fork and your filling, and zap, it discharges through your filling, and pow, the top of your head goes off. Well, now this is a problem, of course. This is a problem of continuing electrical shocks. But there's another thing that happens sometimes. There's a thing that occurs. There's a I shouldn't say technique. It's a phenomenon called rectification that occurs. In the case of every radio set, you're listening to me right now, and what your radio set is doing is rectifying an RF voltage. A minute RF voltage is sent out from WOR. It's minute when you get it, but it's vast when we send it out. But by the time you're actual receiver receives that signal. That signal is in the, well, it's in the vicinity of something like 1 or 2 microvolts. That's a tiny signal, really. Microvolts, not volts or millivolts, but microvolts. Well, now that receiver gets that tiny voltage, and it amplifies it. This is called an RF amplifier. Now it's in the vicinity of a tenth of a volt, something like that, after it's amplified. At that point, it is rectified, in which case it then becomes audio. We don't want to go into the whole theory of how radio works and superhets work and so on, but your tooth can do that just in the same way that a crystal does it. If you've ever built a little crystal set, and you know you can buy crystal sets all over town. You can buy little kits and stuff. You can buy them over Radio Shack and so on, and you put them together, a lot of fun, and magically, all of a sudden, with no batteries, nothing at all, you are hearing radio signals. You put an earphone on a crystal detector, no batteries involved, and you're hearing radio signals. Well, what's happening is that this little crystal is rectifying what is always in the air, these tiny, minute, microvolt RF voltages, and you hear it. Well, your teeth could do that too. And I used to work at a radio station that one time something went wrong with we were broadcasting a harmonic, actually. We had some technical problem at the transmitter one afternoon. Now, what we were broadcasting was all kinds of spurious radiations for a brief time until they fixed it, but nobody knew it. We were sitting in the station one afternoon. This was in the Midwest. We're just sitting there. Everybody's broadcasting. Everything's going on just normal, like you're hearing WOR at this moment. When all of a sudden, it just happened instantly, the switchboards lit up all over the station, like 25 million calls. People are calling in. And we're in the studio, so we didn't even hear this, you see. We didn't hear it at all until they started to come up from the girls in the switchboard, and they were totally confused, these ladies, you know. What? Hello? This is WOR, yes? Why, it's impossible. You mean, oh, no, excuse me, I have another call. Well, we wound up getting 26,000 calls in 1 6-hour period from people all over the southern Ohio area who suddenly, without any warning, were picking up a disc jockey playing rock on their teeth. It's fantastic. Thousands of people all of a sudden couldn't get rock out of their head. Commercials, the whole jazz, the 1 minute of news, you know. Hello, here's the news flashes. The guy can't get away from it. People who were asleep were suddenly awakened by the sound of rock in their head. This went all over the southern Ohio, northern Kentucky, southern Indiana, and incidentally, the station was a 50,000-watt clear channel station. So you can imagine how many people who are picking us up who didn't call. They were hearing us in Pennsylvania on their teeth. Their eyeballs were vibrating. Just that one brief moment, and the engineers were running around like out of their mind, whatever we were doing. Some shield had come loose someplace, and we were broadcasting. Chickens were waking up. They were picking it up on the metal chicken coop frames. There was a guy called up, and he says 14,000 cows in his barn suddenly gave sour milk because for 3 hours their trough where they were drinking out of was playing rock, and they couldn't drink, and it was blatting commercials at them. So, friends, you've got a lot of little things going there in that mouth of yours. No telling when you might be bad-mouthing yourself.